It turned out to be three, because last week I just kind of got to preaching and time got away, so we didn't finish. And so today we'll take a little bit of extra time, and we're going to conclude today, though, our message on bird watching, and that's why I'm dressed as I am. Don't normally dress this way. But if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. We're going to talk about one of these parables today. Kind of introduced it last week. I will go back and give some introduction to it this morning so you're not lost. And if you weren't here, you didn't miss anything. So Matthew chapter 13, you heard of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Sermon by the Sea. This is a sermon that Jesus gave. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I like a good mystery. Do you like mysteries? I like a good mystery. Here's one that's solved even. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore spake I to them in parables. Because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. All right, let's pray. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit here today to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to us. And Lord, in particular, as we go bird watching today, that we would be able to pick out the birds that are the devil's birds, that we would be able to recognize them and be saved from them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus gave seven parables here. They're really mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he said, these are things that you will understand. Not everybody will understand those, but those who have eyes to see and those who have ears to hear will be able to understand them. See, Jesus spoke in parables for two reasons. One reason was to conceal. The Pharisees and some of the self-righteous leaders of those days who did not want to accept Jesus and his message, they would not understand the parables. They would not see the truth in these stories, which are really messages with a meaning, with a spiritual truth. But Jesus said, those that want to see, those that want to hear and understand, he would reveal the mystery to them. And there are seven of them here. Let me tell you what they mean, and then we'll go on this morning. But first of all, Jesus said that you can expect many things. You can expect many to reject the gospel. And then he said you can expect many church members to be hypocrites, to not be genuine, to not be true. There will be wheat and there will be tares. They will look an awful lot alike, and you not be able to distinguish the two. So we leave that up to the angels at the time of the judgment of the harvest. And then he said, expect the rise of false cults. And then he said, expect that there will be corruption in the professing church. And then he said, expect God to keep his promises and his covenant to the nation of Israel. And then he said, you can expect Jesus to build his church. And finally he said, you can expect God to judge righteousness, to judge rightly. Now, what I want to talk today about is that third one there, expect the rise of false cults. Jesus warned us. Jesus told us in advance, you can expect that there will be false cults. Now, if you will, you're in Matthew chapter 13 there, and let's go down to verse 31. Verse 31. And this is the third of these parables. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, at first glance, that seems like a great thing. That seems like the kingdom of God is just going to grow like a grain of mustard seed that becomes great. And some people think, oh, this is just a sweet little parable. Look how wonderful the gospel is. But that's not the teaching here. The mustard seed has a very pungent smell to it. It's very strong, it's fiery, it's hot. And it does talk about the fiery explosiveness of the gospel. But that mustard seed makes a mustard plant becomes a shrub, which is normal. But then it grows and becomes a tree. That is abnormal because shrubs don't become trees. And the book of Genesis teaches us that. And so we're talking about something here that is unnatural, something that is a monstrosity, some kind of unnatural growth. And then the birds of the air, they come and lodge in the branches of this tree. And so what do these birds represent that are lodging in the branches of this unnatural growth, this tree? These birds come from demon powers. Now, chapter 13 there of Matthew in verse 4, we read it. What did the birds do? The birds came and stole away the seed. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls come and devoured them up. Here's a man sowing. This is the great sower is Jesus. He's sowing the gospel. And yet there are birds that come and devour the seed as soon as it is sown. Now, that same word for birds or fowls that is used in verse 4 is the same word that we read there in verses 31 and 32. And they represent demon powers because I believe I can prove it too. If you look at verse 19, here's what he's saying. And when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed way. Where? By the wayside. So it's equating these birds with the wicked one. These birds do the devil's nasty work. They are under the power of Satan. And when one hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. So it illustrates evil. And then in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2 really is the climax of the whole thing, is God speaking about Babylon. Babylon was the cradle of all false religion. That's where the Tower of Babel was. That's where the first type of the Antichrist, Nimrod, was from. And so God looks upon the judgment of this false religion, and he says in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And so Babylon is for the birds. And what he said is something that started out as a mustard seed has become a tree, and these dirty birds come and they lodge in the branches of this tree. And that's the reason why we see false cults arising everywhere, all places, and just springing up all over. Now, what I want you to understand today, that doesn't mean that the gospel has failed. It doesn't mean that the gospel had failed. It doesn't mean that the Bible is not true. I'm going to tell you something. If we did not have false cults, then you could say that the Bible is not true, because the Bible said they were going to come. The Bible says, in the last days, men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Bible warned us that it would happen in these last days. So don't get discouraged. And if everybody doesn't believe the Bible and everybody doesn't come to Jesus and get saved, don't get discouraged, because the Bible says that there is going to be tares among the wheat. The Bible says that there's going to be false Christ and false cults all around the world. What is happening is exactly what Jesus predicted would happen. The mustard seed becomes a grotesque, monstrous tree, and the fowls, which represent demon spirits, lodge in the branches of apostate Christianity. And so when you see these things happen, you can just say, you know what? It's happening just as Jesus said it would happen. And so what we need is a course in bird watching. And I'm not really going bird watching today. I'm going to instruct you in bird watching. Anybody know where the remote is? No, that's not it. Is that it? Thank you. And so our Lord said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, if the devil will wear wool, he'll also wear feathers." And so we need to understand that. And let me tell you what these birds do. They may use the Bible. In fact, they frequently do. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "They which are unlearned and unstable wrest the scriptures." That is, they turn the scriptures. They twist the scriptures into their own desires, their own thoughts. They may even perform miracles. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as it were possible they would deceive the very elect." They may also do good works. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." So how do we know if somebody comes along, and how do we know if they are genuine or if they are one of these dirty birds of the devil? I want to give you some tests. Okay, the first thing is the source test. When a person approaches you with some kind of faith or some kind of religion, you ask that person this question. You ready? Is the Bible God's word, the revelation that God gave through his word? Is the source of your information entirely, solely the Bible? Or did you get it from someplace else? Did you get it from the Book of Mormon? Did you get it from the Quran? Or did you get it simply from the Word of God? The Bible says in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So some people will say, "Well, I read the Bible." Yes, but do you read the Bible solely? See, the Mormons will read the Bible, but they also read the Book of Mormon. And when there is a discrepancy, the Book of Mormon takes precedence over the Bible. So the source test, do you use the Bible or do you have extra biblical books? I want to tell you, if they come from a Bible-based ministry, you need to be aware of this. Because some will say, yes, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, so we need further tests. Not only the source test, but the second test is the Savior test. Find out what they believe about Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, co-equal and co-eternal with the Almighty God? And don't think this is just incidental, because 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. This is serious business. Now, I don't think it means you can't bring them into your house and witness to them, although I would be very careful even about that, because there are many, I mean, these cults, these Jehovah Witnesses, for example, and the Mormons are gaining converts from someplace. So I would be very careful. If you don't think you're spiritually mature and strong enough, I wouldn't even bring them into your house to discuss with them. But if you want to bring them into your house, that means here you do not welcome them as a brother. And you do not say Godspeed or God bless you. We're all headed to the same place. You're not. And so you have the source test. You have the Savior test. The third test is the subject test. Find out if their primary task is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't ask them, do you believe the gospel? But rather ask them what the gospel is. Because if you say, do you believe the gospel? What do you think they're going to say? Yeah, I believe the gospel. You ask him what the gospel is, and then ask him if he preaches the gospel. Find out if he understands what the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. But the Bible again warns us. Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man, he wants to repeat it because it's that important. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Because there will be a false gospel. There will be false gospels that will be preached. And it's a dire warning here for us. And the next test, the fourth test, is the salvation test. Whoops, the Savior test, I'm sorry. Here's what they need to believe about salvation. They believe that salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that his atoning work on Calvary is the only basis for the forgiveness of sins. See, it's not the blood of Jesus plus something. It's not the blood of Jesus plus anything. It's not faith plus works. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is faith in the atoning work, the finished work of Christ on the cross. Salvation is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receiving the gift of eternal life. It is not any achievement. It is not by works, lest any man should boast. It is not based on the goodness. So you ask the individual, are you depending on your achievement, or are you depending on Christ alone for your salvation? Are you trusting exclusively in the grace of God? And if they're not trusting exclusively in the grace of God, if it's Christ plus something, then they have failed the salvation test. And then the sanctification test. Is this individual living a holy and righteous life? Do they teach purity? Do they teach holiness by which no man shall see the Lord? Do they preach and teach and live in accordance with the standard of holiness? Now, if a person could pass all these tests, you'd be pretty sure that they're a brother or sister in the Lord. So these are the major tests that we have to look. And now we're going to go bird watching. How many, again, you got your binoculars, now you need to take them out. What I'm going to do is bring some birds up here, and you get to read what these birds say. And I'll tell you right off the bat, they're all dirty birds, okay? So, but what you get to do is tell me which one of the tests they fail. Okay, we really need a lesson in bird watching here. I think this is important. So we're going to do this this morning. And these are actual teachings of cults. They're actually what cults teach. I took their words. I did not change their words at all, but this is what they believe. So you got your binoculars out? All right, can everybody tune them in on me here? It might give you a moment to... I don't know if the rest of you are going to be able to read these or not. I kind of doubt it. So, somebody with binoculars, can you read that? Can anybody read it? Glenn, you should be able to read it from the third pew there. Maybe you better get the binoculars you had last week. I think you need the binoculars you had last week. Can anybody read it? Really? You guys can't read it? Dan can? I know it takes a while. Really good, Bob. You must have a... Wow. Now, okay, I'll read it to you in case you didn't hear it. Jesus attained deity in his preexistence and was a spirit brother of Lucifer. Which one of those tests does this dirty bird fail? Maybe even more than one. The source test, the savior test, the subject test, the salvation test, the sanctification test. Savior? Savior? What? And source? Anybody agree with that? Could you not read it because it was this way? I'll hold it up. Mike gets this one. Here's one that's a little, I think this one might be a little trickier. Very good. It says, if you harm none, do as you will. If what you do doesn't hurt anyone else, then do whatever you want. Which test would that? Yeah, well, maybe you get all of those. I would give it the, they definitely would fail the sanctification test for me. I mean, is this a true statement? If you harm none, do as you will. If what you do doesn't hurt anyone else, then do whatever you want. Is it true that you can do things that don't hurt other people? It doesn't, really. It affects people. Haven't we heard if we let the homosexuals get married, it will hurt, it won't affect anybody else. It doesn't have any effect on anybody else. Has that been true? No, it has not been true. This dirty bird fails the sanctification test, for sure. Anybody got binoculars on this side? Back to the middle. Oh, Dan does. Can you read that, Dan? Too small a print. All right. Yep. You must now become progressively perfect in working toward exaltation or salvation. You have to become progressively perfect. Huh? Salvation? Salvation test. Can you see that, Joan? The resurrection of Jesus was spiritual. Subject test. Here, Amy, you're trying real hard. Can you read that?
You must read the Bible and the Book of Mormon.
That's an easy one. You must read the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Which test do they fail? Source test. Should I just give it to somebody? Jesus was a created being. The Savior test. All right. Nancy, can you read that one?
The Bible does not argue for scripture alone. The Bible cannot be interpreted correctly without tradition.
Okay. The Bible does not argue for sola scriptura, which means scripture alone. The Bible cannot be interpreted correctly without tradition. That is easy, right? The source test. How about this one? Hey. Guys, read that one.
Salvation is impossible apart from total obedience to the watchtower.
Salvation is impossible without total obedience to the watchtower. Is that pretty easy, that one? All of them. So there's going to be these false cults. What does that mean to you? What does this mean for you? Whoops. First of all, it's a word of caution. It is a word of caution, a word of warning. Don't get carried away by the false cults, some apostate form of Christianity. You know, I'm amazed at how many people who were once in Bible-believing churches are drawn aside, and because they don't have the ability to be a spiritual bird watcher, they have fallen into the lies and the deception of these cults. And really, they are lies from the pit of hell. They originated with Satan himself. The second thing that I want it to mean for you, for us, is that it's a word of comfort. Because Jesus again warned us that these things would happen. And we don't have anything to fear from the cults. We don't have to worry about apostate Christianity as such, because truth is stronger than error. And greater is he that is in us than in he that is in the world. Now, we don't have anything to fear from our own, everything except our own missionary apathy. except our own laziness, our own lack of desire, or our ignorance of spiritual truth if we fail to preach the gospel. That's really what we need to fear. But I would like to give you a word of caution here, a word of warning. Remember, we talked really the first week about three kinds of bird watching. There's different levels. There's the bird watcher who doesn't really take it seriously, but when he goes out for a walk, he might look for birds, okay? And then there's a second thing that's called birding. Birding takes it a little more serious in that you go out for the purpose of watching birds. And then the third level was twitching. Remember that? Twitchers travel a lot. Whenever they hear there's a new bird, they go to where that bird is so that they can write it in their book and they can say that they have then seen that bird. And I see something here for the Christian. I think we need to be more than casual bird watchers. But I don't think we need to take it to the extreme where we become twitchers. I don't think that we look for demons under every bush. I don't think we chase all over looking for that which is evil and that which is false so that we can say that we have seen it and we can record it. I don't think we spend too much time looking at demons and occult activity. You know, I don't know how these people in the discernment ministries do it, where that's all they do is they look for cults. You know, and they look for false teachings in the cults. I don't know how they do it. They're twitchers. It has to be a calling of God. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it. This is not my favorite part of the three messages. My favorite part is talking about God and how God relates to us as a bird. That's what I love to talk about. But I think we need to be more than casual bird watchers, in that we do need to look for these things. We do need to go birding, but not be overly concerned with it. In fact, a medical journal told of the dangers of bird watching. You'd think there wouldn't be any dangers in bird watching. But do you know that bird watching can be dangerous? And here's what the medical journal said. It said, because bird watchers are so intent on watching the bird, they forget about the crocodiles. And bird watchers then have fallen prey to crocodiles. And while they're watching the birds, they don't notice the crocodiles. And many bird watchers have been eaten alive because while focusing on the bird, the crocodile was focusing on them. And so what might happen is we might focus so much on one cult or something that we're not realizing that the devil is focusing on us on another area. And that's why I don't think we don't need to study the cults to that extent. We don't need to study that which is wrong and that which is false. If we study that which is true, we'll be able to recognize the cult when it comes along. You know how they teach people to find counterfeit money? They don't have them look at counterfeit money, because the counterfeiting means change all the time. You know what they do? They have them look at the real thing. They get so used to the real thing that immediately they recognize the counterfeit when it appears. And so, Christian, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking at the real thing. We need to be looking at the real gospel. We need to be focusing our attention on the real Christ and getting to know him in better ways, in more personal ways, and understanding him as best that we can. Because the Bible says that when we have light, when we have truth, he'll give us more light, he'll give us more truth. So that's what we need to do. We need to walk in the truth. We need to walk in the light. And as we do, God will reveal things about himself that we didn't know before. And it'll simply amaze us. And we'll understand him so well that when something false, something wrong, something anti comes along, we'll immediately be able to spot it and say, that's not genuine. That's not real. That's false. That's one of the devil's dirty birds. Okay? Now, there's a story about Darius the Great as he invaded Europe. He came into Europe, and Alexander the Great came to meet Darius of the Persians. And Darius sent Alexander the Great a bag of sesame seeds. And there were just thousands and thousands of sesame seeds. Then he sent them by courier to Alexander the Great. And he was saying, we're going to cover the land like these sesame seeds. There'll be so many of us that you won't be able to defeat us. Because they were going to tremendously outnumber Alexander and his army. But Alexander the Great sent him a bag of mustard seeds. And he said, you are going to meet fire and power and strength like you've never seen before. We might be small, but we're going to be powerful. We're going to be pungent. And you know what? We need to be like Alexander the Great. And even though we might be small, and even though we might be outnumbered, we have the power of Christ at our disposal. We have the power of the gospel, and there is no greater power than that. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is mine, and I give it to you. And we need to go out as an army of believers, not fearing the enemy, recognizing that the enemy is there, recognizing that the enemy is large. There are a lot of people out there that are believing in false things. A lot of them. And they would love to deceive you. But we don't need to worry about that if we love the truth. If we have eyes that want to see, if we have ears that want to hear, if we want to understand, Jesus said, then you'll be the one that understand. I'll reveal it to you. And the more truth, the more light we have, the more is going to be given to us. And we can walk across this land and we can sow the seed of the Word of God. And as we're sowing, not everybody's going to believe it. As we're sowing, the devil's going to come, his dirty birds are going to come sometimes, and he's going to snatch that seed as soon as we sow it. But that's not our responsibility. That's not our problem. Our goal is simply to sow the seed, and we leave the results up to God. But don't ever, ever get discouraged. Don't do it. I don't see people coming to Christ through my life and my ministry. You know, I witness to my neighbor, I witness to my loved ones, and I don't see them coming to Christ, and it's easy to get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. You know, the church might not grow as fast as we want. Let's not be discouraged about it. The growth is not our part. It's not up to us. Our part is simply to sow the seed. My job is to preach the word. I preach the word of God the best I can. And it's up to you to receive it into your heart and let it come in. And as I'm sowing, I realize that the cares of life sometimes choke out the word. I realize that. But I'm going to keep sowing. I'm going to sow and sow and sow and sow. I'm going to give you the gospel. I'm going to give you the truth. And I really believe today that if you want to hear it, if you want to understand it, God will reveal it to you. He reveals his truth to the disciples. Those that don't want to hear, he conceals it. Those that want to hear, he reveals it. Dorothy, did you want to say something? Amen. 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 Let's bow for prayer. I want you to be like Alexander the Great. Say, I've got a bag full of seed. I've got the Word of God. I've got the seed of the Word. And don't be afraid to sow the seed. Instead, you could say, Satan, you're the one that ought to be afraid, because I've got the gospel, and it's powerful. and it's got a bite to it. And it's hot. And I'm going to sow the gospel of Christ. And Satan, you ought to be the one that's afraid. So would you, here's what I'm asking you to do in way of, by way of commitment, that you would just say to the Lord, Lord, I promise that I'm going to plant seeds. I'm not asking you to have a harvest. I'm not even saying that you can't promise to lead somebody to the Lord, but you can say, I'm going to plant seeds. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to leave tracks. I'm going to witness to people. I'm just going to do whatever I can to plant a seed. I'll share my testimony. I'll tell people what Jesus has done for me. I'm just going to sow the seed. Jesus is the great sower, but we're also sowers. We sow with him. And so the Lord is not calling us to do something that we can't do. He's just asking us to do something that we can do, something simple. But what a great thing. We get to take part in the harvest because we're workers in the field. We get the results of reaping a harvest. Some plant, some sow the seed, some water it, but it's God who gives the increase. Always God who gives the increase. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility, sow the seed. And I just wonder today, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if you would just raise your hand by way of commitment and say, Lord, I want to be a seed sower. I want to sow the seed. And Lord, would you help me? And would you give me creative ways to sow seed? God bless you. I see those hands. Are there others? Amen. All over the place this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Only eternity will reveal the results of you simply being obedient and sowing the seed. Father, I thank you today for those that have raised their hands today and want to be a seed sower to follow you. Lord, I pray that you would give them courage. I pray today that you would give them a boldness. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them just creative ways that they could sow the seed, that you would give them opportunities in their life simply to sow seed. Lord, we pray that you would bring along others that would water that seed. And Father, we pray that you would hold back those dirty birds, those fowls that would come and try to steal the seed as soon as we sow it. Lord, that you would hold them back by the power of your mighty right arm, Lord. Keep them at bay. Let the seed be able to go down to the soil and germinate and produce a good crop, even 100-fold. Lord, I pray for success for these seed sowers. Lord, that you would grant it. And double, that you would be afraid of us because we are sowing the mighty seed of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. What is it you're playing? I know the tune, but I give me Jesus. Sorry. Let's do that. Give me Jesus. He's what we need today. We don't need anything else. See, all the cults will tell you you have to believe something, but Christianity says you believe someone. Give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus, and that's all we need. Let's just be our closing song this morning.